Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. This episode features a special teaching from one of our monthly encounter nights. The focus of these nights is to experience the presence of God, discover the ways of His Spirit, and worship Jesus extravagantly.
Good evening again. Good to see you guys tonight. And great to be here together with you on this Tuesday night. I'd like to share some tonight about some of the gifts of the Spirit, and then we'll see what the Lord wants to do tonight in us and with us. And it's always good what He has. He has great things in store for us. So let's look at a couple of scriptures right off the bat. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's start there. By the way, these chapters, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul really breaks down some of the ways of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, explains, I'm so thankful for these chapters, where he explains how these gifts are to be used in the corporate setting and in our personal lives and what God intends to do by the Holy Spirit through us. And then right in the middle of that is 1 Corinthians 13, which everyone knows about 1 Corinthians 13, usually only quoted, though, at weddings, about the love chapter, right? So in between, the way I like to say it is in between the buns is the meat, and that is love. And so love really is the connector between all of the gifts of the Spirit, interestingly. The Lord says through Paul that, you know, you can prophesy, but if you don't have love, then you're just like a gong, a loud gong, making an irritating noise. And so love really is the motivation and the key for us to move and flow in the gifts of the Spirit. It's that we have love for people. I know a lot of times the gifts of the Spirit have been misused, or maybe it's not even real what happens, maybe in the name of gifts, but they're not, because they're self-promoting. And the gifts of the Spirit are not self-promoting. They are activated by God in us through love for other people, through love for God. And so that's such an important thing as we read this, because I'm not going to go into 1 Corinthians 13 beyond this, but okay, start with verse 7. It says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Each person, that's you, that's me, we are all given a manifestation of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit manifesting Himself through us in various ways for the common good. Again, this is where love comes. This is to build others up, to help. It's for good for others, is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit living inside of us, moving through us, through our words, through the ministry that comes through our hands, all of the words of knowledge and all the things that are in here that we're going to read about. It's for the common good, and it's a manifestation of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit working through us. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. We've gone through these over the last 2 or 3 years. We've done some of each of these and explaining them. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And to another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Lots of teaching on all of these things. We're not going to go too many rabbit trails tonight, Lord willing. And to another, the effecting of miracles. I really want that one. And to another, the effecting of miracles. That's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit inside of us. To some, that manifesting presence of God comes through miracles, comes out as miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, the distinguishing of spirits, which I'll mention a little bit later on that, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. We talked about that last month, various kinds of tongues. We spent the whole evening after a little teaching, praying in the Spirit and singing in the Spirit. Thanks for all of you who came and were a part of that. That was really enjoyable. I love that. Various kinds of tongues, all different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills, as the Lord wills. So as the Lord desires for us to have these things by the Spirit, different manifestations, it doesn't say that one person just has one either. It also doesn't say that one person can only have one. There can be unlimited, or that they will stay the same for your whole life, or even for a moment. So the Holy Spirit, as he wills, can work different gifts of these nine gifts through us at different times, and maybe multiple ones. There's no limit here as the Holy Spirit wants to do this. But then let's jump to 1 Corinthians 14. We'll skip over 13 for a moment. And it says in verse 1, this is in the Passion Translation, "It is good that you are enthusiastic and passionate about spiritual gifts, especially prophecy." Especially prophecy. "When someone speaks in tongues," as we did last month, "no one understands a word he says," right? Because he's not speaking to people, but to God. He is speaking intimate mysteries in the Spirit, which is wonderful. But other people don't understand it, unless you have the gift of interpretation. "But when someone prophesies, he speaks to encourage people, to build them up, and to bring them comfort." So here we have the purpose for the prophetic, the purpose for prophesying. For everyone who prophesies, it's to do one of these three things. It's to encourage someone, it's to build them up, or it's to comfort them, bring them comfort. So if we receive something from the Lord that we feel like is a prophetic word, and it's not one of those three things, it's probably not the Lord. That's important. Some people have used the prophetic to beat people up, to expose sin, and to be harsh with people or condemning. All manner of other things other than what is said right here that the purpose of the prophetic is for. Encouraging, building up, and comforting. This is a wonderful not only purpose, but it's also a great guideline. Now, I know and we won't go into this too much, I've talked about this a lot in other times, but there is what is called, what I would call, the office of a prophet, which is different than everyone prophesying. I believe there is an office of a prophet, like there's an apostle, there is a prophet, and their gifting will include these, but I think it will also include maybe some other things that might be more corrective at times, depending on their responsibility, the authority the Lord has given to them, or really calling out certain situations, highlighting things, where it's not just encouragement, building up, and comfort. But that's not the role or the office that we all flow in. We are here to go by all who prophesy, not the office of a prophet, but everyone who can do this. And every one of us can do this. We can all prophesy. We can all encourage. We can all build up. We can all comfort. Verse 4, "The one who speaks in tongues advances his own spiritual progress," which is a wonderful thing, "while the one who prophesies builds up the church. I would be delighted," verse 5, "if you all spoke in tongues, but I desire even more that you impart prophetic revelation to others." He's desiring that we would impart prophetic revelation to other people. Greater gain comes through the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues, unless there's an interpretation so that it builds up the entire church. So there's a wonderful place for speaking in tongues. As Jude says in verse 20, when you pray in the Spirit, you're built up in your most holy faith. And so many things can happen as we're praying this mysterious language that God gives us back to him and announcing and proclaiming and breaking, and so many things. There's intercession that can be in tongues. There's so many things that we're being built up, and a lot of other things can take place. But Paul is talking here about this wonderful gift of prophecy because it's in the common language of people that they understand what's being said, and it's encouraging, it builds up, and it comforts. Or one of those three, anyway, or all three of them, who knows. But this is so important because then everyone can be built up through prophecy. So again, as the verse started there, it's good that you are enthusiastic and passionate about spiritual gifts. The Lord wants us to be enthusiastic and passionate about spiritual gifts and to ask for them. Ask for them. There's nothing in this Bible that says don't ask for the gifts of the Spirit. It's actually the opposite. If you break down some of this verse, it could be read to covet even the gifts of the Spirit. Desire them greatly so that, the purpose for them, so that others can be built up and blessed. So this is a prophecy is an amazing thing. And I know there's a lot of mystery around this. Even just saying the prophecy or the prophetic, sometimes it conjures up images of angry prophets prophesying doom, weird-looking dudes with eyes that are ablaze, wild-eyed preachers scaring and telling people how unhappy God is with them. That is not what this is. That's not what this is. You know, God is for us. He loves his church. The Lord is in love with his body, the church. We're called his bride. You know, husbands I know love their wives. God loves his wife. He loves the bride, the body of Christ. And this gift of prophecy is to encourage her. It's like beauty treatments. Prophecy is like beauty treatments for his bride because it encourages her, it builds her up, it comforts her. It's an amazing, beautiful, powerful gift that God has given us, this gift of prophecy. And in Luke chapter 11, we won't read that whole portion there, but it's clear Jesus is saying to us that our Heavenly Father, when we ask for the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit that come with him, he will not give us a scorpion. He's not going to give us a rock. He's not going to give us a snake. He's not going to give us something that's bad. He's going to give us something good, as much as we need to give away. It's a beautiful thing and a powerful thing. Now, the word prophecy or to prophesy, if you boil it down, it really is very simple. It means to speak forth. So you have to say something. It's not prophecy if it's only in here or in here. It has to come out. It means to speak it forth. What are you speaking forth? You're speaking forth mysteries that the Holy Spirit is giving you, revelation that God has given you. You know, when I was a kid, I would come home sometimes, and I'd take the first step into the door, and I could sometimes, even before I get through the door, or even open the door, my mom was making homemade bread. And man, is that an awesome smell. I mean, sometimes you can smell it before you even get into the kitchen, and it is a wonderful thing. I think of prophecy like homemade bread, that you are giving a slice of heaven to because it encourages, it comforts, it just causes you to come alive. There's nothing like the prophetic. I love it. I've been teaching on it for 30 years, and I love the prophetic because I've seen it work in my life so much to help me, as God has given me so many different things prophetically to lead me and to guide me, to comfort me, to encourage me through so many other people like you. And then just personally, he's done all of those things, but I've seen it work throughout the body as we have these prophetic teams that nearly every Sunday, as we have prophetic teams, the testimonies, and many of you would have these testimonies of these words that meant so much to you. Sometimes it helped you make a decision or helped encourage you to stay on the path that you're on or helped you maybe change paths. So it's an incredible and wonderful thing. And there's a great need for it. There's a massive vacuum of spirituality that Jesus wants to fill with himself. I mean, do you realize the psychic network and that type of stuff going on, and the what I would call the counterfeit prophetic? Yeah. Counterfeit prophetic. They're hearing things from what I would call the second heaven realm. We taught all about this before, so you could go back and listen to this, because that may not make sense to you, unless you've heard me talk about it. But the second heaven realm is the psychic realm. It's a spiritual realm, but it's very soulish, and it's the demonic realm. And people can get things from there and pass them off as psychic type of stuff, which it is. But that information is not going to be encouraging, building up, or comforting, because the source is demonic. That's the counterfeit to the prophetic. The Lord started this with the Holy Spirit and wants us to be prophetic, where we are tapping into heaven. We're tapping into the third heaven, which is the realm of the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us wants to give us information, revelation, encouragement that is from him. Thoughts that God has that he gives to us that we get to pass along. That's a wonderful thing, to get a thought from heaven that God has. He gives it to us by his Spirit, and we get to share that with someone. That is part of us being the hands and feet of Jesus. It's part of us partnering with heaven. I was in a city in Florida once, doing some ministry, teaching on the prophetic for 5 straight days to this whole church. And one of the evenings, the leaders took me out for dinner, went to a restaurant, and we're sitting there, and this woman came up to serve us, to serve our table. And as she did, the moment I saw her, I knew, and this didn't take discernment, but I just knew she was a lesbian. And the way she was dressed, the way that she carried herself, I knew she was a lesbian. And then, I'm going to share this in this room, but I don't share this very often. But for the very first time that I saw the first person who was a lesbian, their skin looked green to me. I didn't know that no one else saw that. So that is one thing that the Lord has shown me. When there is a woman, I don't see it on men necessarily, but when a woman who is living a homosexual lifestyle, to me, their skin looks green. And it was just an indicator that the Lord will show me how to help people that are walking in that. So anyway, this woman comes serving our table. I saw her skin look green to me as well. But I didn't necessarily need that to know that she was a lesbian. And she was a lousy server, by the way, separate from her sexual orientation. She hardly helped us. She didn't refill our drinks. She was very short with us, not a happy person. But the moment that I saw her at the same time, I felt this huge compassion for her. I just had this love for this woman, a pure love. I wanted to help her. I just felt this compassion for her. So while we were eating, and she wasn't serving very well, I was saying, Lord, how can I help her? How can I help this woman? And what came to me was she reminded me of a friend of mine who was a little bit like, it wasn't Kylan, but it was a worship leader who was also the youth leader. And I just kept thinking of this guy. He's a worship leader. He loves music. And he is a leader of the youth. Every time I was praying about her, I just kept thinking about this guy. Now, that is what's called discernment of spirits. 2 Kings 15 talks about this, and I've shared about this also, where the sons of the prophets saw Elisha, and he looked like Elijah to them. Do you remember that story? That's discernment of spirits. They were discerning like a spirit of Elijah on Elisha. So this same thing, I was thinking about this one guy who was a musician in music, and he was a leader of youth, and I was like, okay, Lord, so you want me to say something to her? So we got done with our meal. She left the check. I saw her name on the check. She wrote her name on there. And I said to the guys, I said, do you guys have anything for this woman from the Lord? And they said, no. I said, well, I'll meet you in the parking lot of the car, but let me go find her. So I went through the restaurant, and at the back of the restaurant, there she was, talking with a friend of hers, another server. And as I walked up to her, she sees me coming. And as most servers, if they're not doing a good job, probably, they see their customer walking toward them, her walls go up for sure as I approach her. But I had a smile, and I just went up to her and said her name. It was on the ticket. And I said, may I ask you a question? And she was very hesitant to respond. It was a very guarded yes. So I said, well, can I say first, God really loves you. He really loves you. And in fact, not only does he love you, but God has an amazing calling on your life in music and to lead young people in the right direction. So you understand how I got that. I got that from her reminding me of this other person, right? As I finished saying that, her friend that she was talking to jumps in. And she says, oh my God, she loves music. And she starts going on about how much this woman loves music. And she didn't say anything right there in that moment. And I don't usually do this, but she said something then to me that she said, you know, it's interesting that you would say that. Because she said, last night I was serving the table. Just the night before. Last night I was serving a table, and there was a man who was a Christian man that I was serving. And he looked at me and with a very stern look said to me, you're a lesbian, and you're headed to hell, and you're a horrible example to young people. So the night before, she is a Christian, point at her and condemn her, saying that she is a lesbian, she's headed to hell, and that she's a horrible example to young people. Now, was any of those three things untrue? No, they're actually all true that the guy said to her. But the spirit in which he said them to her was not love at all, right? What she felt was condemnation, hatred, and rejection for sure. What I did, of course, I didn't know that was said. So then I said, God loves you. He's got purpose for your life. He's called you to these things and to lead young people in the right way. I knew in that moment that she wasn't doing those things, but she had a calling to do those things. So I prophesied to her what God wants to do with her, not the state in which she's in. Does that make sense? So here's what she did. She said, well, let me say this. Once she told me that he had done that the night before. Now, I don't usually tell people I'm a pastor when I'm out like that, just to be honest, because people often don't like pastors, and they're going to put me in a box, and they're not going to want to listen to anything I have to say, or, you know, any. So, but this time I felt like I needed to, because I felt like I needed to give her a good example for someone who's a Christian than the one she had the night before. So I said, well, I am actually a pastor, and the Lord sometimes speaks to me about people, and he was talking to me about you because he loves you the most. She said, please tell me, where is your church? I want to come. That was her response. Please tell me, where is your church so that I can come? See, the world desperately needs the prophetic, not just the body of Christ. Because the world needs to hear what God has for them, not just condemning them for how they're living their life. It's interesting, in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it says, let me read this in the Passion first, do the riches of his extraordinary kindness make you take him for granted and despise him? Haven't you experienced how kind and understanding he, speaking of God, has been to you? Don't mistake his tolerance for acceptance. Do you realize that all the wealth of his extravagant kindness is meant, so the kindness of God is meant to melt your heart and lead you to repentance? Other translations will say it this way. The kindness of God leads us to repentance. The wrath of God doesn't lead you to repentance. The hatred of people doesn't lead you to repentance. The meanness of a Christian doesn't lead you to repentance. It's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. Now, I am one that I don't want to, I'm not going to call sin not sin. But when we're, most of the time when Paul is talking about sin issues, he's talking about within the church dealing with those things. He says, don't even, if you know your brother is living in immorality, don't even have a meal with him. But he says, in no way am I talking about distancing yourself from people in the world, Paul says. We can't expect people who don't know Jesus to live like they do, right? But the kindness of God will lead people to repentance. You can tell someone who doesn't know God that God has a calling on their life and for them to do something amazing, and that they feel the kindness of God that's going to lead them to repent. Isn't that a beautiful thing? It's so different than the angry, mean Christian that's going to beat someone up for not living like Jesus when they're not born again. It's crazy for us to expect a sinner to live like a Christian. It really is. So, all that to say, unbelievers need the prophetic as well as believers. And boy, do we need it as believers as well. I would guess most of you, if not all of you, have had prophetic words in some way, shape, or form that have helped you in a significant way or encouraged you at a point where you needed that encouragement. We all need this. And then let me drop down to verse 31 of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. It says, who can do this? For you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all may be exhorted or encouraged, built up. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That's a great verse, by the way, because some people will act in really weird ways and say that was just God doing it. Well, there is the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. We get to, a prophet, his name was Bob Jones, used to say to me, and if you can hear this the right way, he said, we as Christians need to learn how to hold our liquor. And what he means by that, not drinking liquor, he means the spirit that we has been poured out in us, we need to learn how to hold him where we aren't just weird. So that we allow his spirit to move through us and say things, but we're not just weird people. Does that make sense? You can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. And again, it's about other people, not about us. It's about God wanting to help and encourage and edify and build up and comfort. So who can prophesy? All of us. Doesn't mean we're all prophets, but we can all prophesy. And there are many different ways that we can hear God. We talked about this as well over the last few weeks on Sundays. From visions, scriptures, words, feelings, sensing, knowing, memories, experiences. The Lord speaks through hundreds of different ways to us. As we open our ears to him and are looking to hear from him, he will speak to us in so many different ways. So, we need this. We need prophecy in the church. We need the prophecy out of the church too. Both places. Let's prophesy to people. And you don't have to tell them you're prophesying. There's another thing that spooks people. Don't tell them, I have a prophetic word for you. Or prophetic. Don't say that either. You just tell them, God thinks you're amazing. God really loves you, and he's got this calling for you. He has something for you to do in this area, or there's this situation that's going on in your life, and the Lord has a solution for it. You don't have to tell them that you're prophesying. That can be one of those kind of religious things that can get weird, especially if people will get weirded out by that word. Oftentimes I'll even call at times our prophetic teams encouragement teams, just to help people get there. They help get there because there are a lot of roadblocks in their brain related to certain words in the kingdom that we use.